Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Galatians, chapter 5. Galatians, chapter 5. We'll read verse 7 together, and then we'll turn to yet another passage. Galatians, chapter 5, verse number 7. Let's read this first together in unison. Galatians 5, 7. Ready? Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Now turn to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 2. We're going to read two verses together here. Revelation chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. And again, we'll read these verses in unison. Revelation chapter 2. Verses 4 and 5. Ready? Let's read. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. And let's pray. Father, thank you again for what you do for us here in our church. Lord, thank you that your presence is here. Lord, this morning, all the people saved and the lives changed and our hearts were challenged, and yet we still stand before you needy. Lord, we're sinners. We need the preaching of your book from your man. Father, please fill our preacher with your power. Fill us with your power as we listen. Please change us in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you, Bennett. Let me say also thank you, Bennett. I could not tell you the hours and hours and hours of time that man's put in around here recently. What a blessing he has been. Thank God for him. This morning I announced the title of the sermon this evening, and it is Why Growing Churches Stop Growing. I was preaching at a conference up in Canada. Pastor told me that he could take me by one of the churches that at one time was pastored by the great Oswald J. Smith, which was one of the powerhouses in Canada in years gone by. We went by the building. I was very saddened. A great church in history. It was empty. It was very run down. The church had disbanded. There was a three-story building there. And it was, they did not use a PA system. It was an acoustical masterpiece. A man would stand in the pulpit and the kind of the auditorium wrapped all the way around you and three stories high, and everybody seemed up close so that the volume would be adequate. But I got into the building for just a short time. It was cold, no heat. It was empty. It was run down. It was unused. And I went and knelt and prayed. And I said, Lord, I'm just brokenhearted to see a building like this that would have this kind of history. And now there's not even anybody meeting in it anymore. There's not even a church here anymore. And I said, Lord, help us. Help us that that would not be our case. Help that our church would remain strong and the blessing of God would continue upon our church. The Bible says in Galatians 5:7, you did run well, who did hinder you? The Bible's telling us here that someone ran well and God said you were doing well in your running. Now who hindered you? What happened to you? You used to be a runner. And now you've been hindered. You're not running anymore. In Revelation chapter 2 verse 4, it says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. This is said of the church of Ephesus. They had left, really, their success. In verse 5, it says that they had fallen. Let me read it to you. Revelation 2:5, it says, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works. So in other words, they were doing well, they were successful, they had fallen from that success. You put the verse from Galatians in here. They had been running, but now they were not running anymore. They were not doing so well. Something had hindered them. And the Lord comes along to the book of, in the book of Revelation to the church of Ephesus, telling them, you've fallen away from your original drive and purpose. And he uses the word, you need to repent. What did he mean? He's saying, you get back to doing what you were doing before. Get right about that. You have seen it. I've seen it. I've seen churches that had the blessing of God upon them, and then something happens along the way, and that blessing is retracted. Churches that were going forward end up going backward. Churches that were aggressive end up becoming lethargic. I'm going to give you some reasons why I think that growing churches stop growing. I'm going to cover them. I'm going to cover them quickly, I promise you, this evening. But if you'll listen to me, please. Let me say, first of all, growing churches stop growing because the nobles put not their necks to the work. Growing churches stop growing because the nobles put not their necks to the work. Let me read a verse to you. Nehemiah chapter 3, verse 5, it says, and next unto the Tekoahites repaired, but their nobles put not their necks to the work of the Lord. Here's the story. Nehemiah was leading God's people. They were doing a great work. They were building a wall around the city of Jerusalem. And in chapter 3, Nehemiah is listing the people and some of those that were personally responsible for building. And he makes an interesting observation while he's talking about this growing ministry. He says, their nobles put not their necks to the work. Now, the nobles, what was that? That might have been what you'd call the church blue bloods, or you might call it the church leadership. Their leaders had become, in this instance, I think their leaders had become supervisors, but were not participators or producers. In other words, what's happening here, you've got a staff of people, deacons and staff, and if I translated it into our day, you have a staff of people that are not being productive people. They're supervisors, but they're not productive people. Hey, deacons, sure, there are duties that we do here in the church, but our only duty is not to touch the financial reports from time to time and glance at them. We're to be productive. The nobles need to put their neck to the work. What's the real work? Well, the real work of God is reaching people and helping people and making a difference in people's lives. Leaders, watch out now, leaders. We could, as leaders, begin to teach people to be productive, but then not practice productivity ourselves. Don't let the new people in the church get excited about Jesus and then expect that they'll do our work for us. The nobles would not put their back into the work. Listen, nobody in the church has ever been promoted to the point that they no longer need to win souls. Nobody. There's no position in the church that is so lofty that God gets us off the hook in regard to soul winning. And so, growing churches stop growing because the nobles put not their necks to the work. In other words, the leadership has to keep on being productive just like the brand new Christian does. Number two, growing churches stop growing because they become proud of their size. Growing churches stop growing because they become proud of their size. Psalm 37:6 says, therefore, pride compasseth them. Compasseth them about as a chain. It says pride compasseth them about as a chain. Well, what's that chain doing? It's restraining. Pride restrains us. Pride holds us down. Pride holds us back. And I say to you, churches stop growing because they become too proud of their growth. Hey, don't be sinfully proud of the size of our church. Let's just be glad God's using us. I have no numerical goal that I'm trying to reach here in our church. Say, well, how big do you want to get? I never wanted to get big. I just want to reach all the people that I can. Now, I'm not against somebody setting goals, and if you set goals, that's all fine. But I have to tell you something, folks. If we become proud of the size of our church, I think we're going to stop our church from growing. You say, well, I think we're big enough. That's not your call. God didn't leave that up to you. And you say, well, I think we're big enough. Well, you're wrong, because we're to constantly be reaching people. And if we were big enough, that's God's call, not our call. Never stop believing in the growth of the New Testament church. Someone might think, well, I feel like my Sunday school class, I have all I need. You got to understand something. This is not all about you, though. It's not you have all you need. Does Jesus have all that he needs? And he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It's not all about me. It's not all about you. It's all about Jesus. And I know he does not have all he wants. God will not bless, though, an arrogant and a proud people. He will not. This is God's church. He deserves the glory for any success that we experience. And thank God for the fact that we get to have a church the size of ours. But folks, if we ever become proud, if we ever become arrogant, God will withdraw his hand from our church. So what's our goal? We just keep reaching all the people we possibly can. That's our goal. And so, growing churches stop growing because the nobles put not their necks to the work. Growing churches stop growing because they've become arrogantly proud of the size of their church. Thirdly, I believe growing churches stop growing because they depend on their organization more than they depend on their God. Yes. Growing churches stop growing because they depend on their organization more than they depend on their God. Let me read a couple of verses to you. In Acts chapter 6, verse 1, it says, in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring. Now, let me tell you here, the church had grown. You see, it says, in those days, the number of the disciples had multiplied. They had grown. They hadn't just added, they had multiplied. That's like this morning, 27 people walking the aisle, trusting Jesus Christ. That wasn't simple addition of one or two. That was the multiplication. That's God's hand working. Now, so their church had grown. In verse 3, it says, wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Now, their church had become successful. It had grown. It was getting bigger. As a result of it, they said, we're going to choose some men that are going to be deacons, and they're going to assist to help this thing going. This was this thing of selecting these deacons was virtually an organizational tool to help due to the growth in their church. The men of God had said, we're so busy taking care of everybody. We're going to need some more help. And so we're going to get some good men of the congregation. They're going to become deacons. They become a part of the organization, and they're going to help us so that we can keep things going. And it says in verse 4, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the words. See, the deacons were there to help keep things going. But notice here, they stepped up in organization, but they were still praying. They were still praying. Sometimes a church gets, hey, you get an organizer at the helm, you get some good organizers in the church, we might learn how to organize this thing, but if you're not careful, you begin to depend on the organization, and you'll forget there is a God, and you'll forget that there is a thing called prayer, and we can't depend on just the organization, but we need the God of the organization. Growing churches sometimes become more dependent on their success than they do their God. Organization is a great key, and it's a great key for success, but organization in the church is not there to eliminate God. You see, they were getting organized. Why? So they could give more time to prayer, not less time. You know, there are some of you, back before you knew how to do it, you had to pray frantically, hoping for God to get something done. Now you know how to do it, and you never pray. I would rather you stay unorganized and on your knees than organized and never on your knees. But wait a minute, we could do both. We could be organized. We could be organized and have it together and still depend on the God of the universe. Remember, organization is not our ultimate goal, but God's glory is our ultimate goal. You can have everything in order to the point that you worship the order more than you worship the God of the order. That's like a Sunday school teacher that follows our structure but does not read the scripture for themselves. That's like leaders who depend on the church's organization but they don't depend on God. It's like leaders who walk the line concerning the organizational guidelines, but they don't walk with God. Now, folks, listen. We have an organizational structure around the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church that will carry you. It'll carry you. It'll make you look successful. You have so many things going on around you. It's organized so well. It'll make you look successful. But I'm going to tell you, the ultimate success is your walk with God and having a true relationship with Jesus Christ. And so I believe growing churches stop growing because they become dependent on their organization more than they're dependent on their God. Then I think growing churches stop growing because the members become self-centered. Growing churches stop growing because the members become self-centered. Let me read to you from Ezekiel chapter 33. Verse 31 says, "And they come unto these as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness." Here the Bible says they were their heart goeth after their covetousness. In other words, they were more interested in themselves than they were others. They hear the command to serve, but they really just want to be served. Let me say it again. They hear the command to serve, but they really just want to be served. Hey, there are people that come to church only to get, but never to give. Listen, folks, if we as members demand more and more from the church for ourselves, that means we're going to concentrate less and less on reaching others. I'll tell you what can happen to a church. A church can get so caught up in what can we do for ourselves and what can we do for me and what can we do for mine and what can we do for me and what about this program and what about that program, all for us, that we stop reaching people. If we get so busy developing programs for ourselves, we may end up finding ourselves ignoring the lost. And I've watched churches that used to have bus ministries to reach out and go reach people, shut their bus ministries down, and start concentrating on nothing but themselves. We have our ministry called our Hearts for Missions Connections. There are some of you just love it, but you never go soul winning. You do understand what missions is all about, don't you? You say, "I just love that meeting." You ought to go out soul winning too. I might need to tell you that. You demand for yourself a first-class music program, but you could care less if we were on a bus ministry. You support our church's summer baseball league, but as far as your teens coming to teen soul winning, you're not real interested in that. Yeah, we better be careful, folks. If all of us become maintainers and nobody is a producer, we'll die. Churches die. If all they do is maintain, they're four and no more. Hey, staff, let me ask you a question. If your paycheck amount was based on the people that you produce, how much would you be making? Did you know the physical work at the church is all about people? That's what it's all about. You see, if we're not careful, we become, hey, there's some of you, you're just all about the Christian school. But you're not interested in any soul winning. You're not interested in the bus ministry. It's just all about you. You know, if we were to cancel school, you could get irate. If we canceled soul winning on Thursday night, you'd never say a word. Why? It's all about you. It's all about me. It's all about mine. It's all about what I want. It's all about what's good for me. And I want to tell you something. When a church gets to the point where it's all about me, 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 we've forgotten it's all about them, 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 them. When churches and church people are all about themselves, God withdraws His hand of revival. Yes. And so, why do growing churches stop growing? Well, they stop growing because the nobles put not their neck to the work. They stop growing because they become arrogantly proud of their size. Instead of just reaching everybody they can, they get proud. Growing churches stop growing because they depend on their organization more than they depend on the God of the organization. Growing churches stop growing because they become self-centered. Take their eyes off of others and get their eyes on themselves. Growing churches stop growing because they stop living by faith. Growing churches stop growing because they cease to live by faith. 2 Corinthians 8:7 says, "Therefore, as ye abound in everything in faith." Abound in everything in faith. Growing churches, if they become afraid to step out, they'll stop growing. Here it talks about abounding. It's talking about overflowing. How, what causes you to abound? What causes you to overflow? It's faith. It's stepping out. It's reaching forth. It's reaching for more. It's accomplishing more. It's wanting more. It's desiring to climb up the hill, not to park it in neutral, not to set and spin, but onward, forward, shout aloud, Hosanna. That's what it's all about. And when churches stop, when they stop living by faith, they're going to stop abounding. When we become afraid to take risks for the cause of Christ. The word abound means overflowing. It means filled beyond capacity. It is by faith that a growing church grows to its current level. That same faith must continue, and it must continue to be practiced if you're going to continue to abound. See, when people get secure, they seem to almost fear faith. They feel that faith risks their security. Let me tell you something. When you don't have anything, you're willing to take a chance. Why? You didn't have anything to lose anyway. When you look at it and say, don't have much, don't have a lot of money, don't have a lot of people, don't have a lot on the line, you know what, I'll just jump in and take a risk. Well, how much risk was it? You didn't have anything to start with. But boy, I'll tell you what, when you start getting a bunch and you start gathering, then when you it's time to step out and take a chance, we retract. And when churches stop living by faith, churches start dying. You see, we feel that faith risks our security. This proves that our security is not being found in, it actually proves that our security is being found in what we have rather than who we have. You say, who do we have? Jesus. Jesus is who we have. Hey folks, listen, Jesus took a chance for you. He risked it all. I wonder, what will our church risk for Him? What will you risk for Him as an individual? It's amazing to me, young men will go out and risk it all to start a church from scratch. 10 years later, they've got him a little building. His pastor's built him a little reputation. He's got a handful of people. He's got him a salary, and he stops growing. And I'll tell you why, he stops risking. Young men will go into the ministry and say, doesn't matter to me what kind of benefits I have. Doesn't matter to me how much I get paid. I'll just risk it all. Let him work somewhere for about 10 years. Everything becomes an issue. We stop living by faith and we start living by sight. And growing churches stop growing because they stop living by faith. Let me say, growing churches stop growing because they start fighting secondary wars. They start fighting secondary wars. 2 Timothy 4:7 says, I fought a good fight. Paul said here, he fought a good fight, which then that leads us to believe there are other fights that are not as good. Churches and people sometimes put big energy into little issues. Folks, the big issue is the souls of men. The big issue is changing lives. The big issue is the purity of the Word of God, salvaging marriages, salvaging families, making a difference. You know, I know people who would fight for what color tile we use on the floor of the grade school, but they wouldn't lift a finger to fight for Thursday night soul winning. I'll tell you this, I'm against abortion. But we're not going to stop what we're doing around here and in regard to our soul winning to go down and fight an abortion clinic. You know, we can keep people out of hell by getting them saved. See, I don't stop to fight my critics. I fight the devil. I'm just too busy to answer all my critics. And let me ask y'all to do us a favor. Don't make me and the church staff to use up our time and energy refereeing your petty little secondary wars. We've got some big things to accomplish. When some of us are just way too petty, churches stop growing when they start fighting secondary wars. Folks, let's keep our eyes on the prize. Let's keep our eyes on the fact that in Luke 19:10, the Bible says Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Keep yourself right with God so you can keep somebody out of hell. Keep yourself in church so you can help keep somebody out of hell. But what we do is we get to fighting little petty wars, and then we're not after the big cause of Christ. And I've watched churches do it time and time again. I think growing churches stop growing because they lose their willingness to sacrifice. Proverbs 21:26 says, the righteous giveth and spareth not. And that means that the righteous give and they just keep giving. If we're not careful, we'll begin to feel like we've paid our dues. And everybody here, including myself, we need to remember we're always in debt to God. Always. Always. You say, I sacrificed the last time, let somebody else do it this time. I have to tell you something, folks. Jesus sacrificed to you to a point that we never really get off the hook. You say, we're doing enough. Let some other church carry the load. God wants every church to carry all the load that every church can carry. Jesus did not hesitate to sacrifice for us. Why should we hesitate to sacrifice for Him? And growing churches stop growing when they decide they don't want to sacrifice anymore. They want to do just enough to get by. Let's have a church service, but we don't really have to accomplish much. Let's not strive for revival every Sunday. Well, around here, we want revival every Sunday. And it's available, as we can see. We need to learn to push ourselves. Life is short. Now's not the time to become stingy. And remember, sacrifice is not based on how much you've given. It's how much you have left after you've given. Why do growing churches stop growing? Well, they stop growing because the nobles put not their necks to the work. Growing churches stop growing because they become arrogantly proud of their size. They stop growing because they become more dependent on the organization than they are dependent on God in prayer and walking with God. They stop growing because they become self-centered and they get all caught up in what can we do for us, and we lose sight of the people in the world that need us. Growing churches stop growing because they stop living by faith. Growing churches stop growing because they start fighting secondary wars instead of staying after the primary war. Growing churches stop growing because they don't want to sacrifice anymore. They feel like they've given enough. Growing churches stop growing because they run out of space. They just run out of space. Let me read a verse to you. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 1. Says, and the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. This is a story of a school, I believe a Bible school, called the School of the Prophets. And they're saying in this conversation here in the scripture, we don't have enough room to house everybody. It says, behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. In other words, they'd reached so many people, they didn't have room. They had so many people involved in this ministry, they didn't have room to put them. I think that's one of the reasons why, not the only reason, but one of the reasons why we believe in that philosophy of you multiply by dividing. That's one of the reasons why you take for Sunday school. We have many smaller groups. I think I counted this morning, we have 78 Sunday school classes. And we have 78 classes because smaller classes are easy to house. It's easier to find a place for him. That's why we have four or five different children's church programs and children's choirs. Why? We just don't have big enough rooms to accommodate all the big crowds. I think every once in a while a bus route needs to divide itself maybe. And maybe a ministry divides a little for the sake of growth. And folks, I tell you, I don't know what else we're going to do. There's going to come a day when we're going to be forced to expand our auditorium. I mean, when you look around, in the balcony up here, we've got a handful of seats. In the balcony up here, two sections of pews, we've got a handful of seats. But basically, here it is Sunday night, and some of you are sitting so close to somebody else right now, you smell their breath and you're mad at me. Don't be mad at me, be mad at them. Hand them a breath mint or something. But us human beings, we don't like being stacked one on top of the other, and we're packed into this auditorium, and thank God for it. This is a big auditorium, but there'll come a day when we will have to expand the auditorium, and churches stop growing when they don't have room to put anybody. I hate this. I hate to tell you this. There are some days when we'll have parking lot attendants have told me in the past, there'll be people pull in to come to church on a Sunday morning and they'll take a loop around the parking lot and they can't find any place to park, and they take another loop around the parking lot and they can't find any place to park, and they just go on and drive on up the road. Now that's a tough problem to have, and you hate to have a problem like that. And so what do you have to do? You have to expand. You really don't have much choice. But I can tell you this, there are some churches that say, I don't want a building program. We don't want another parking lot. You say they actually have that attitude? Oh yeah, they're everywhere. No, we're not going to do that. We're not willing to sacrifice. We're not willing to go into that by faith. We're not willing to do that. We're not willing to risk. We're not going to do that, folks. Growing churches stop growing because they fill their facility and there's no place to put anybody new. Now, we're going to have to take our new Sunday school building, and we've got a basement level that we're going to have to tear into it, and we're going to have to start building more space for people because we don't have room to put everybody. That's just all there is to it. We've got to have some place to house everybody. So it's going to come. Sooner or later, we've got to do it. But I want our church to keep growing. And it's not an issue of size to me as much as it is an issue of being used by God. If God wants to keep on using, let's let Him keep on using. So we must accommodate whatever it takes to be used. Growing churches stop growing because the people get satisfied. They get satisfied. Psalm 17:15 says, "As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake in thy likeness." You see, in heaven is when we'll awake in His likeness. In other words, until we get to heaven, let's not be satisfied. Let's just keep going forward and doing everything we can. You see, when people just want a big church, they'll eventually stop growing because they'll probably get one. You want one, you get one. But if that's all you wanted, once you get it, you'll be satisfied with it. You say, "When will you be satisfied, preacher?" Don't plan to be. Amen. Say, "When will this let up?" As long as I'm your pastor, I don't foresee any letting up anywhere. Amen. You say, "What are you going to do when you get old?" I'll hire a bunch of young guys. We are not to necessarily want a big church, but we are to want to be used with no limit. With no limit. We're to reach all the people we can and get all the people we can saved. You know, some actually develop the attitude, "I don't want to grow anymore." I overheard, and they'd be embarrassed to know, I overheard a lady right here in our church telling someone, "Well, I just prefer little churches." And I'll tell you why. For her comfort. She gets to be a big shot in the little pond. Did you know that when you just say, "Well, I just want a little church," and so you're saying you want fewer people saved, fewer lives changed, fewer people taught the Bible, fewer people out soul winning. I don't understand that. Now, I'm against big churches that want to be big for the sake of being big. But I'm for churches that are big because they're doing the work of God. Growing churches stop growing because people get satisfied. Growing churches stop growing because the membership stops soul winning. Mark 16:15 says, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." And thank God for our church. This morning, I preached a sermon about giving. Didn't say a thing about salvation until the invitation, and I made about two statements, and 27 people came forward and got saved. You say, what's that the result of? That's the result of New Testament Christianity called soul winning. Soul winning. Soul winning takes the gospel to the community. Now, some have backslidden to the point where they're waiting for the community to come to them. They're willing to win souls if somebody will drop them in their pews. We just happen to believe that we ought to go out and drop into their living room and get them. We're to go into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in. All Christians are to be soul winners, not just the church staff, not just those appointed into leadership. Hey, and bus captains, let me advise you. Your bus route will stop growing when all you do is go visit your regulars. Bus captain, if all you do is go visit your regulars, your bus route will start going backward. You say, what am I supposed to do? Go visit your regulars and go visit some new ones and get some new people saved. Sunday school teachers, don't just teach your class, build your class. If all you do is maintain what you have, maintenance is going to cause the eventual death of your class. And don't expect the bus ministry to build your class for you. And don't, hey, there's some folk, especially some of you adult Sunday school teachers, let me encourage you, let me challenge you. If the only people you have in your class are people that left everybody else's class to come to yours, I'm going to tell you something. Some new fresh blood would do you good. And all you're doing is shifting people. All you're doing is shifting. And you know, there's some people that shift, and that's okay. But in-house transfers don't grow things. New people, getting people saved, reaching the fresh recruits, reaching the ones that everybody stares at when they come on the church property. Some of them wild-looking birds that come in and you say, well, that is definitely somebody new. I love it. I love it. I love looking around and seeing them and people saying, look at that, and some of you snooty Pharisees. What are they doing at our church? Well, they just got saved and they're probably going to get excited about Jesus. We'll clean them up. We'll doctor them up. You give us a little bit of time. And you Pharisees that have your nose in the air, stay away from them long enough to give us a chance to love them and grow them. You remember back when you weren't perfect? Dr. Hiles told me any church that's doing its job is going to have some worldly people running around, and everybody's going to say, good night in the morning. Look at that. Yeah, right. And I used to be like that. Many of you used to be like that. And we better thank God that you can look around this church and see the new recruits. Amen. Growing churches stop growing because the membership stops bringing in new people and seeing people say, growing churches stop growing because one time excited leaders lose their fire. One time excited leaders lose their fire. Revelation 2:4 says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. You remember when you were first asked to be a bus captain or a bus worker and you were on fire for God? Now you have to force yourself to do it. Remember when you were asked to be a Sunday school teacher, an assistant teacher, and you were all fired up about the standards and you were honored and you were excited? Now, doesn't mean anything to you. You're contrary and barely faithful. You used to be ready to build. Remember when you gave your word you'd be faithful to church? Now you miss and it doesn't bother you. You gave your word about separation. Now all you do is complain about it. You promised to build your class. Now it's a burden to you. See, what happens is people that at one time were on fire for God have doused their fire. So you know, God's willing to fire you up at any moment. I think it was Wesley that said, somebody said to him, how do you draw the crowds when you preach? He said, I set myself on fire in the pulpit and people come to watch me burn. Anybody want to come to your Sunday school class because you're so excited about Jesus? Anybody want to come on your bus route because they look at you and say, I'll tell you what, that guy right there, he is pumped about God. I don't know what he believes. I don't know what he stands for. I'd just like to watch the guy in action. I want to go down there to see what's happening. I've heard something's happening down there. Are you the cause of that? You see, growing churches cease to grow because those that at one time were fired up about leading and helping are now, they're not real interested. Have you messed up your attitude so bad that you've lost your fire and now you're just reproducing unexcited, uncommitted people around you? You're reproducing it. You used to reproduce fire. Now you reproduce that coldness. Don't resign, refire. Don't resign, refire. Shake yourself. Get out of that complacency and that numbness. Why? Well, growing churches cease to grow because one time excited leaders cease to be excited. And you can stay excited. You can stay excited. You say why? Because Jesus never changes. See, if you're getting excited about the exciter, he never changes. Amen. See, some of you, you only get excited about the excitement. I get excited about the exciter. You can stay excited if that's the case. Someone said, you did run well. Who did hinder you? There are reasons why growing churches stop growing. I've given you some of them tonight. Let's all walk guard around the revival that we have. Let's all walk guard spiritually and our own part in this thing. And let's make sure that somebody doesn't come visit our church someday like I did the one up in Canada. And it's cold, deteriorating, empty, disbanded. Let's hope somebody doesn't stand and say, you know what? I went and visited that church called the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, where in history there was a great revival taking place there. And let it not be said that this person would be able to say, but it's dead now. It's just history. Let's not let that be the case. Let's keep our church moving forward for the cause of Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here this evening and you've never trusted Christ as Savior, you're in the midst of a church that considers you a priority. We're not just interested in ourselves. We're interested in you. We're not just interested in our little programs. We're interested in your person, and we want you to get saved. And we want you to go to heaven someday when you die. If you're here and you're not saved, I wish you'd come tonight. Let us take a Bible and show you how to be saved. In a moment, we'll have an altar call, and if you'll leave your seat, walk toward the front. You walk up to the men that are going to be standing down front on the lower level. Walk up to one and say, I need to be saved. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. If you have been saved and you've never made it public, why don't you come tonight and we'll take care of that. If you've been saved and never been baptized, why don't you come tonight and present yourself for baptism? Maybe you're saved and baptized, but you've never joined the church. Maybe you ought to come tonight. Maybe you need to come and rededicate your life. Maybe this sermon about why growing churches stop growing, maybe you have taken a step toward these warnings that I have given you. And you say, Brother Owens, I've headed down a couple of these paths, and I need to fix that. I see it even in myself. Maybe you need to come tonight and take a moment and just pray and say, God, help me. I don't want to see our church go backward. I want to see it go forward. I don't want it to be said of me that I did run well, but something hindered me. I don't want it to be said that I lost my first love and that I've fallen away from the success that God had given me. Maybe you need to repent quickly before it gets the best of you. I'm going to ask the instrumentalists to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed, our eyes closed. Choir, sing a song of invitation. If you need the altar, you come. Have you lost your fire leader? Are you one of the nobles that won't put your neck to the work? Are you afraid to sacrifice? Are you afraid to step out by faith? Are you more dependent on the organization of this work than the God of this work? You look around and see wonderful things happening around you, and you're dependent on what everybody else is doing, but you're not a contributor. Oh, let's keep the work of God strong. Oh, let's not become so self-centered that program for this and a program for that. It's all for our good. Let's remember that there are people that need us to reach them. I love the programs. I love the ball league. I love the missions program that we have here at the church and the youth program and the Christian school. I love it all, but I'm going to tell you, if we get so wrapped up in taking care of us that we don't take care of them outside the church, God will withdraw His hand. We don't want that. We'll run out of space and have to expand, and you'll have to go through the growing pains of it. You'll find a plastic chair set up in the aisleways because of an overflow crowd, and I know it's inconvenient. I know it's uncomfortable, but we can either go forward and stay alive or complain about growth and die. Are you satisfied? When was the last time you won someone to Jesus? Have you lost your fire? Don't lose your fire, Christian. Keep singing, choir. One more time through the song, please. Just one more. Thank you, choir. Thank you, congregation. Go ahead and have a seat there.